Grace, mercy, and peace be to you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for our meditation is the epistle lesson, especially in the second half, from chapter 4:1 down to the end of our 4, verse 7. And especially highlighting this verse, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." So far the text. Please be seated. In the spring of 1999, the Duke and Duchess of Northumberland went to court to block their young son, who was 14 years old, from receiving his inheritance when he turned 18. The young Earl Percy stood to inherit a vast fortune, including a castle, at least £1 million, and, probably most significantly, a $500,000 annual income. His parents believed that this was too much for an 18-year-old to handle. So they set up a trust to manage their son's fortune until such time as he should be 25 years old. What does it mean to grow up? What does it mean to become an adult, to become a grown-up? What does it mean to get bigger and faster and more capable? Is growing up about gaining independence, knowing how to do things for yourself, like tie your own shoes and brush your own teeth? What does it mean to grow up? Is growing up simply a process of becoming more and more responsible, more and more trustworthy, so that you can be given things like a $500,000 salary and trusted with that? What does it mean to grow up? Is it about becoming self-sufficient, weaning yourself off all of the helps and encouragements that people give you along the way as you grow? About weaning yourself off even your own parents, or perhaps especially your father's influence? What does it mean to grow up? And what, if all of this is what it means to grow up, what does this trajectory mean for fathers? Those who supposedly have grown up. What about especially fathers today? Are fathers supposed to be, at the end of this process of growing up, the biggest, fastest, strongest, most capable, most independent, completely self-sufficient providers for everyone else? As promised, I'm going to show off my socks. Hopefully you're not scandalized by this, but I have these Father's Day socks. Now, it's a little hard to see, so I'll describe them, but here they are. If you can see it, it says, "Mr. Perfect." Here he is. He's balancing on one foot. In his left hand, he's got a great big cake. In his right hand, he's using the vacuum. His left foot is up behind him, where he is, it's very hard to see, but he's balancing a tray with a wine glass on it. Andrea said these socks reminded her of me when I'm preparing the house for her return after she's been away for a couple of days. Mr. Perfect. Is that what it means to grow up? That we might become Mr. Perfect, Super Dad, or at least some variation on that theme? Well, fathers, and those who also feel as though you don't measure up today, thankfully that's not the picture of maturity that we have in this book of Galatians. The passage that we heard speaks of growing up. It speaks of sons and fathers, and it speaks of becoming mature. As Paul puts it, there are heirs who are children, like the young Earl Percy when he was 18 years old. And then there are sons. Sons who have grown up. Heirs becoming sons. Daughters, too. There's no need to exclude our daughters or our lovely women. How is it that we become mature? That's the question here. How but through Jesus, the perfect Son, who pleased his perfect Father. By faith in his perfection, we are growing up. If you've been thinking about and studying the book of Galatians over the last few weeks, as I have, you begin to see a theme that comes out in Paul's letter, which he is at pains to articulate to this group in Galatia. The book of Galatians was written for recovering Pharisees, but trying to base their standing with God on their spiritual performance, the Galatians had become a clan of people who basically believed that Mr. Perfect was the ideal. Mr. Perfect was the perfect guy who kept the perfect law perfectly. Mr. Perfect believed in Jesus, but also believed that the rules were what came after, and that Jesus might give us the strength to keep that perfect law perfectly. Paul saw very clearly that they were in danger, this group of recovering Pharisees. They were in danger of losing the good news, of denying the gospel. Even in their good intentions to be upright and proper and admirable, they had forgotten that faith in Jesus Christ comes to sinners. As Paul puts it here, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. What does it mean to grow up? Here, in this passage, we find that growing up actually means admitting our need. It actually means admitting that we are not Mr. Perfect. In fact, we are the complete opposite. And you can picture Mr. Perfect falling off of his one-legged posture right onto his face. The church today needs just as urgently to hear this message of grace. As Philip Ryken, the author of the New Testament commentary on Galatians that I've been reading, puts it, we are legalists by nature. And Galatians challenges many of our preconceptions about what it means to have a right relationship with God. What about you? Are you also striving to be Mr. Perfect or Mrs. Perfect? Does your heart bend toward legalism? Do you think about God and church primarily in terms of morality, of discipline, of learning the right way to live and then going and doing it? Do you strive and strive and strive again to maintain a proper and respectable and admirable and God-centered life? Friends, there's a legalist in all of us, regardless of how old or grown up we might be. It's simply human nature. We're taught to do our best. This is part of our upbringing. And yet, if we never come to know that life involves more than simply doing our best, we will never truly grow up. If we never surpass the religion of doing the right thing, we will remain slaves forever, bound to a system we cannot succeed in, trapped by the very rules we are unable to keep. We will remain Pharisees. And deep down, all Pharisees are hypocrites. For to be perfect in a perfect system, you have to be a liar. Nobody has been perfect save one, save the perfect Son of God who stood in our place. As a Pharisee, myself, as a hypocrite, I can tell you from experience how dismal the existence is when we try to live within that system of rules and be Mr. Perfect. Seems a little heavy, I know, for a Father's Day sermon, but perhaps that's just the week that has been. If you walk around our city for any length of time and listen, you learn its sounds. There are all kinds of sounds that you might hear. There's the sounds of traffic, sirens and engines and tires and horns. There are the police helicopters that were above the neighborhoods in the evening, reminding us that bad stuff happens, that we must be vigilant, and that there must be a code that we all follow. There are construction noises, sounds of progress, lawnmowers, leaf blowers, and exhaust fans. There are sounds of restaurants and people partying, music blaring, and bass thumping. I wonder if you've heard them. In the background, you might hear occasionally a few natural sounds, bird song and wind in the tree branches. But I wonder if you've heard the nearly inaudible sound in the midst of all that, which is both terrifying and terrific. A cry that goes up from humanity, which we often don't know we are making. When do you cry out? And what do you cry out for? There's a word today in our text, in verse 6, which is translated to English as cry out, crying, or cried. It's God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying. That word, crying. The Greek word krazon. It's actually an onomatopoeic word meant to imitate the call of a crow. A scream. It's an eerie cry, isn't it? Krazon. A scream. When do you scream? What do you scream for? As I've been reading and studying and hearing God's voice through these words of Paul in the book of Galatians, especially this week as I've read these words time and time again, and as I've considered the theme today of Father's Day and what it takes to be a father and what it takes to grow up, it seems to me to come down to one very simple and yet very difficult thing, and that is learning to scream for our dad, learning to say, Abba. Can you hear that scream being uttered all around you? If you listen carefully, you can hear it. Can you hear it in the way a young girl dresses, getting attention from all the wrong places? Can you hear her screaming, Daddy, I need you. Love me. Can you hear it in the discontented affluence of the wealthy driving their Ferraris down Jasper Avenue late at night? Abba! Daddy! They said that this would make me happy, but it hasn't. Daddy! One of the neighborhood friends we've made, who has a hard time keeping it together, just put it that way, once told me during a rare sober moment that if it weren't for all the sexual abuse he'd suffered as a child, a small child, perhaps he might have turned out different. I could hear the scream. Abba! Love me! Heal me! Protect me! Cover me! Embrace me! Keep me safe! What does it mean to grow up? What does it mean to become a father? Perhaps it comes down to the simple and yet tragically rare experience of having a true father. One who hears our cries and comes. One who provides. One who loves again and again. I don't know what your experience of fatherhood has been. Perhaps it was, like mine, incredibly good. And your father, like mine, demonstrated a love which was a reflection of that perfect love of the Heavenly Father, who had patience and who had joy and who taught you how to pray. If that was the case for you, you, like I, have much to be thankful for. Praise God for faithful fathers. But perhaps that wasn't your experience. Perhaps you haven't heard from your father in quite some time. Perhaps you never knew your dad. Perhaps your father is no longer living and you wish beyond all wishes that you had one more chance to call out to him to hear his voice. Whatever your experience of fatherhood is, mixed or not, together we have good news for those who are still in need of a father's presence. Together we have a father who has provided everything for us, and who has even sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts to teach us how to cry, to teach us how to pray. Abba, Daddy. I know that we are out of time, and yet I want to wish you, I want to invite you to talk about this some more. We should talk about this some more. We need to make more time to talk about this some more, especially fathers. Fathers, make time to talk about fatherhood. Find your friends, those who are perhaps also in the same place in life as you. There are different seasons of fatherhood. Daughters, wives, find your friends. Make time to talk about this. Find the fathers in your lives. If not your own, then those who are close to you. Find an opportunity to wish them true fatherhood, to encourage them, to pray for them, and to teach them, even in the midst of what you are hearing, how to cry, Abba. For it's in the midst of our need, when we recognize that we are in need, that we find the real essence of fatherhood. Learning to be okay with the fact that I'm not Mr. Perfect, and even if I try to balance a wine glass on my foot now and then, I'm far from self-sufficient. I'm far from the perfect provider that my family needs, but there is one who is. I'm not entirely self-sufficient. In fact, I'm completely the opposite. I'm entirely dependent upon the grace of my Abba, my Daddy. And so, Kara and Judah and Jonas especially, if there's one thing I can teach you, it's just that. It's that cry that I'm learning to cry, Abba, Daddy. That's the way to pray. Amen. And now may the peace of God guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus as he demonstrates his fatherly love for us all perfectly through Jesus. Amen.